And if you would, take your Bibles and turn to Luke. Luke 24. We're going to be talking about the Spirit of Promise. You know, just before our Lord's ascended, he had this message to them. He told them these things in Luke 24. And in verse 49, it says, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry you in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." Jesus Christ said that there was a promise, that it's the promise of my Father. And then he makes this other statement. It says that until you be endued or clothed with power from on high. This promise of the Father is to be clothed with power from on high. The promise, if you go to Acts chapter 1, we're going to look there first. I want to look at the aspects of what our Lord is saying here. In Acts chapter 1, in verse 4, it says, "And being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me." So this is something that he has taught them and made known to them. It says, "For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. And when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It's not for you to know the time or the season which the Father hath put in his own power. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, unto the uttermost parts of the earth." So we have in these two sections of scripture, both of them talk about the promise of the Father. One says it's to be clothed with. To be clothed with power from on high. And it's also, it says, to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. In Acts, it also mentions power from on high. But it gives us the purpose of this is to be witnesses. So I'm... still admitting people into the room at the moment. But let's look at each and every aspect of this promise of the Father. First of all, let's look at the fact that it's the promise of the Father. And Jesus Christ said, "I've told you about this before. You know what it is." They knew because they weren't asking. But he is making these statements that it's going to clothe them with power from on high. It's going to baptize them with the Holy Spirit. And that the whole reason for this is so that they could be witnesses. Peter makes known what this promise of the Father was in the book of Acts. And Acts, when he speaks to the people, on the day of Pentecost, he stands up, and in verse 16, it says, "But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel." So the promise of the Father that Jesus Christ had told them about, Peter is making known to the people on the day of Pentecost. The specific promise that our Lord and Savior told them about, Peter is now telling the people. It says, "But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, that it shall come to pass that in the last days saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. And the sun shall be turned to darkness, and the moon unto blood, before the great and notable day of the Lord comes. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That is quite a promise that was the prophet Joel spoke. And this is the fulfillment, the day of Pentecost, when they received this power from on high, when they were clothed with this spirit, they received this particular promise. Now, this promise starts and says that when this is poured out, when the day of Pentecost and the spirit was poured out, that is the beginning of the last days. Now, those days have been, it's been 2,000 years since those last days. But I want you to understand this. God was promising this. This is a major event. And these last days are the ones that this particular promise to be endued with power, to be clothed with power from on high, is all about. And so now go to, I want to show you the aspect. I'm not going to spend a lot more time on this promise because Jesus Christ talked to them about the Spirit coming. Next week, by the grace of God, I will be able to share with you a little bit more about the Spirit and what our Lord taught them. But I wanted to spend a little bit of time looking at this other aspect here called to be clothed with, or to be endued with power, to be clothed with power from on high. You know, when God has clothed his people all throughout the Bible, it's very significant because God is the one who provides to us everything that we need. We don't, he's the one who's delivered us. He's the one that's helped us. The first time God clothed mankind with anything was in Genesis chapter 3. In Genesis chapter 3 in verse 21, it says, unto Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skin, and he clothed them. This was after the fall. They had sinned, and they knew that they were naked. They were ashamed. And God talks to, he gives the prophecy concerning the coming Messiah. He tells them about the curse, because the consequences because of what they have done. But God is now takes the skins of animals, which might be the first blood covenant, by the way, takes the skins of animals and he clothes them. God is the one who clothes them. So in Leviticus, just go there, Leviticus chapter 8. This is not something that's a one-time occurrence. So God is the one who wants people to rely upon him. He wants to teach. And Leviticus chapter 8. And he is the one that sets it. So if you're going to come to him, you're going to come to him on his terms and not on your own. If you're going to worship him, he's coming to you on his terms and not your own. So in Leviticus chapter 8, in verse 5, it says, "And Moses said unto the congregation, this is the thing which the Lord commanded to be done. And then Moses brought Aaron and his sons, and he washed them with water." Can you imagine? God wants this to be done. "I want you to bathe Aaron and his sons." "And he put upon them the coats and the girdle with him, and he girded the coat and clothed them with the robes, and he put an ephod on them, and gird him with a curious girdle of tripath, and brought it unto him therein. And he put on the breastplate upon him, and he put in the breastplate the Urim and the Thurim, and he put in myrrh upon his head also." Now, God commanded Moses to clothe Aaron. Those garments were to be for glory and honor and praise. You know, the priests weren't allowed to come before God in their own garments. The garments were made for them, precisely given, the details were given, how they were to be made, what they were to look like, everything that they were to wear, how they were to wear them. Nobody came before God dressed on their own. Nobody came before God unless God showed them exactly how to come before him. All the sacrifices were done that way, everything. But I'm specifically thinking about what it is to be clothed. If you wanted, the priests were going to come to worship God, they had to be dressed and clothed the way God wanted them to be. Exactly how? If man is going to be redeemed, he needed to be clothed. You know, and like I said, God shows the first time with Adam and Eve with the skins of dead animals. And remember, nobody had died in Eden. This was the first time anybody had died. Blood was shed. And he covered them with those garments. In the book of Revelation in chapter 3, goes all the way through, and this is, again, this is not unique. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 5, it says, "He that overcomes, he shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." The Lord Jesus Christ will confess the name of the people. But guess what? They're clothed in those white linens. They're clothed in those white linens. In Revelation chapter 7. Talks about it again. In verse 9, "After this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations, kindred, and people, and tongues. And they stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, and palms in their hand, and carried and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders of the four beasts, and they fell down before the throne on their faces, and they worshiped God, saying, Amen, blessings and honor and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered and said unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence come they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, These are they which came out of the great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. They've washed their robes and they made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Figurative speech again. But the people who are standing before the Lord and praising him in his throne room are the people who are clothed. They are clothed. And they didn't clothe themselves. They didn't come to him on their own. But they washed those robes in the blood of the Lamb. Jesus Christ is the one who died for us. He is the one who has saved us. He is the one who has shed his blood. It says we are washed in the blood of the Lamb. And that is how we come before God Almighty. We as his people, and I want to show you, remember the parables. And in the parables, go to Matthew. The Lord is speaking to the Pharisees there. And it gives you a real illustration of this understanding of what it is to be clothed. And in Matthew 22, and in verse 1, now Jesus Christ was talking, his audience was the Pharisees. It says, and Jesus answered and spake unto them again by the parable and said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and that they would not, but they would not come. And again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready, come unto the marriage. But they made light of it, and they went their way, one to his farm and the other to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their cities. And then said he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go you therefore into the highways, and as many as shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out unto the highways and gathered up all as many as they found, and brought bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guest, he saw there a man which hath not on a wedding garment. And he said unto him, friend, how camest thou in hither, not having the wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king unto the servant, bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into utter darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. Quite a record. The king here, Jesus Christ, is talking about his Almighty God. The son's marriage is Jesus Christ himself and coming to his people. The servants of the prophets all through the ages and all through the years. You know, these are the men who went out and spoke the word and spoke the message and spoke the gospel, and a number of them were killed and many of them were mistreated. And eventually, God Almighty is going to have a reckoning, and there going to be a day in which he's going to destroy all those who didn't believe and didn't accept. But But praise the Lord, because, you know, the Pharisees that he was talking to and the religious leaders who he was talking to, who was so hard-hearted and who were trying to kill our Lord even as he spoke these things to them, they rejected the marriage. They rejected the Messiah. They rejected the wedding. They did not choose to come to the feast. But you and I, who are on the streets and in the alleyways, and the good and the bad, he's bidden to come. And all he asks is that we put on that wedding garment that he provides. Because see, the in the marriage of in the East, you didn't come clothed to the wedding. You know how people put their nice tablecloths on, they put centerpieces, they do all of the little details to make the thing look good and coordinate the marriage and the feast and see how it all looks and stuff like that. I don't know if that's what they did with the house, but that's what they did with the people. They gave each and every one of the guests a gown. They dressed them so that they would look proper at, again, God provides in this marriage, he's providing what he's going to clothe people with. And if somebody shows up later on and then not clothed with what he has clothed them with, they think they're coming to the Lord with their own righteousness or with their own ability or their own, you know, there's so many people who said, you know, well, I'm okay with God because I'm a good person. You know, no, the only way it says, Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. We are to believe on him, on what he has accomplished for us on the cross. We are to believe that his sacrifice and the sacrifice of his blood is for the forgiveness of our sins. It's not our works. We're not doing anything to be invited to this wedding. We're not doing anything. We're putting on what he did. We're believing what was done for us. I hope you get to see that a little bit. There's another similar parable, and it's in Luke. You can read it for yourself. It's in Luke 14, verses 15 through 24. Jesus Christ was also talking to the Pharisees, but he had been bid to come to their home and to eat with them. And he asked them if he could heal on the Sabbath day. And, you know, they didn't answer again. And Jesus Christ said, you know, there was a feast. But the bottom line, let me just turn there for a second. Luke 14. There are many who are called, but few who answer the call. And one of the Pharisees, just before Jesus Christ started that parable, just to give you a clue when you read it, he says, well, praise the Lord, everybody who gets to eat bread in the kingdom of God. You know, that's coming. And then Jesus Christ put forth this parable in Luke 14, and at the end of that particular parable in verse 24, for I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. And again, they were chosen, but you know what? They were too busy with work, too busy with life, too busy with anything else to put God first, to keep God first. And they won't eat of that supper. So read that for yourself. And in the meantime, why don't you go to Isaiah 61. Remember, I'm trying to show you that through the scripture that's being clothed with is something that God does throughout the scripture. He gives this imagery because he wants us to know that he's the one doing this. He clothed the priest, he clothed Adam and Eve, He was the one who is the provider. And nobody comes to him on their own terms. You come to him on his terms. Remember, he's the Lord God Almighty. We work for him. He's the one who chose to save us. And again, our salvation is on his terms, not on our terms. So in Isaiah 61 and verse 10, it says, "And I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robes of righteousness. As a bridegroom decked himself with ornaments, and as the bride adorneth herself with jewels." See, it's God who is going to clothe us with the garment of salvation. And look at, we're not far away, look at chapter 64. Verse 6, this is the opposite side of that. "But we are as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away." In contrast to what God clothed us with, the salvation, we have the contrast here of our righteousness. Compared to what God has done for us through Christ, our lives are like filthy rags before him. You can say, yeah, I'm a nice guy. Well, so what? You know, really, when it comes down to it, you either accept what Jesus Christ has done for you. He is either Lord of your life, and you accept what he has done for you, or you're going to try to show up when our Lord returns and we all stand at the judgment on your own merit and on your own work. And every single idle word will be brought before God Almighty. And just think about it. Everything that you've ever thought and said and done is going to be on the big screen. And can you imagine the horror of that? And when mine comes up, and it's going to be a horror, when my moment comes up and I am held in account for every single thing, every single action of my life, and the terrible, filthy rags of that life, when it's held in the balance. My Lord's going to step up to the bar where God is sitting as the judge. He's going to set up and say, "I paid for that with my blood. I paid for those sins." And Almighty God, is, by his grace, is going to accept the sacrifice of my Lord, wash me in his blood, and I have entrance into the kingdom by the grace of God who sent his son. There's a huge difference in trying to come to God on your own and then believing and doing and living what he says. See, the whole reason God had all of this done and wanted all of this done, he knew we were dead in trespasses and sins. He knew that Adam and Eve couldn't do anything to make themselves righteous, but he knew that through blood, they would eventually have the redemption of the coming Messiah that was promised to them in Genesis 3:15. See, but what God wanted, go to John chapter 14. God shows us what he wanted the whole time. But again, we got to come to him on his terms, not ours. What God wanted was fellowship with you and I. What God wanted was to win back our Lord, to win back through our Lord, you and I, mankind, those who would accept what he would clothe them with, those who would accept what he would do for them through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in believing the gospel. But what God wanted, what was given to them on the day of Pentecost, what they were clothed with that day, and remember, this is all about being clothed with that promise of the Father. What they were clothed with that day gave them an intimate relationship with God Almighty. It gave you the potential of this great intimate relationship with the Lord. In John 14, verse 22, it says, Judas said unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou will manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? I'm so blessed that Judas asked this question. How are you going to manifest yourself to us? And Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. We're going to live with him. When this Spirit came, this Spirit you are clothed with. If you walk according to his word, you have an intimate, because you have God in Christ, in you, the hope of glory. You have the Lord living within you. You have his counsel. You have his heart. You have his breath. You have his power. But again, it's all predicated upon you walking according to his word. See, people love to forget about that part. So if you want to walk in the power that Jesus Christ walked in, then you need to walk in the life that Jesus Christ walked in. You need to walk in the love, the service, the word that he walked in. That is what's necessary. It says, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loves me not, he keeps not my sayings. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But when the Comforter, when this Counselor, which is the Holy Spirit, who the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I said unto you. They were clothed with this Spirit. This is not, you know, again, it's figurative kind of language, right? You've seen the figure all throughout the scripture, but God is the one who has made you and I close. He is the one that has made he and us close, Father and Son. He is the one who has given us the Counselor, the Spirit, the power. It's going to bring things to our remembrance. He's always with you. He never leaves you. He never forsakes you. You are clothed with this Spirit. You believed on the Lord, you believed the gospel, and it says you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And it's a promise. Because when our Lord returns, this Counselor is coming to an end. We're going to get a new body, a new mind. And it's called the life-quickening Spirit. And that will have forever an eternity. And we will not be mortal anymore. We will at that point not be mortal. What we have right now is a token. A token, it's called in the scripture. This token is to be clothed with power from on high. And how is it manifested? Because this is what God wanted. Again, you're not special because you have the Spirit. You are special because God has clothed you with it. And again, it's on His terms. There are plenty of people who choose not to be led by the Spirit. They may have the Spirit. They may have that conscience within them saying, come on, do my word, do it right. But they don't choose to walk in it. You know, and that there's a huge difference. To be led by the Spirit of God, it says in Romans 8, those are the sons of God. Those are the ones walking like the sons of God. We have this power, not because we're good, but because of God's mercy. We have this privilege of having an intimate relationship with our Father, because He provided the clothes. He provided the Spirit. He provided the Lord Jesus Christ. And He's the one that washed us in His blood. We just simply believe the truth of that in our life. What a joy. What a privilege. What a joy, you know, to behold. Well, that's what I wanted to share with you today. And I just want to, hopefully things can get better with the Zoom. I don't know if they're growing too fast or I didn't do anything different that I hadn't done. So what I would like to suggest to you is that you all update your programs and your apps, you know, before next week. And let me pray with you right now. And bring our meeting to an end. So gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you for your love. I thank you for your goodness, your grace, your mercies. Thank you, Father, for the beautiful blessing of the Spirit that we have, Father. It's the promise that you made your people so many centuries ago, where we would be able to, young and old, you know, male and female, we could walk with you, prophesy, have that power in our lives, and the joy of an intimate relationship, Father, that Jesus talked about. Thank you for your continued care and your work and your working within us to understand it and to walk in His ways. And help us, Father, to do this correctly. Help us to walk in the steps of our Lord and Savior and work within us like you worked within Him. Not for our benefit, but so that we could be witnesses, Father, unto you and unto the greatness of the truth of the word that you've given mankind. So I love you, I praise you, and I am grateful and thankful. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.